Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
You're listening to Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Veterans for Freedom Radio. Glad you can join us. This Bible is an amazing manuscript full of God's Word. Read it as often as you can and as many times. Don't ever settle for I read the Bible in a year.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to heaven and tell God, I read it through one time. Really?
He'd rather hear you say,
just once, my son?
Yeah, I didn't read it at all. He'd rather hear that.
Yeah. You read it 1,000 times through, maybe you'll get a small portion of understanding. But and ponder every word, because I've read it 100 times through in earnest, and different passages hundreds of times, and sometimes after the 150th time you've read it, a single word will change and become a spiritual thing. It's, you know, you were reading a carnal passage there, and all of a sudden an entire spiritual meaning comes out of it. God says it does his heart good that kings search out the mysteries in his book. So elevate yourself to a king and begin reading this book. Chapter 13, book of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall it be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. I can see the gossip in the Jewish community surrounding this. Did you see Bob? I'm sure that was a pack of leaven he had.
Hey, those aren't crackers. That's a loaf of bread, buddy. What are you doing?
Thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. That's what he said earlier. I want generation after generation after generation to know what was done here. The power of Almighty God over this prince of the earth. Show them my power and remind them for generations what was done here. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee. Now, we talked about this a couple times in the past. God said, I want to give you this land of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the otherites.
Yeah.
But they haven't quite transgressed enough. They're well on their way to absolute debauchery. But, you know, I have covenants with these people too, you know. Until they cross the line completely, I'm a righteous God. I don't just wipe them out because I want to clean the real estate up to move you guys in. They have to transgress to the point where I'm ready to do away with them. I set you guys over here in Egypt to become a mighty nation until they have fulfilled their transgressions. And at that point, I'm going to give you the land. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass that shall redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man thou among thy child thou shalt redeem. So, every animal, every firstborn of the animals is to be, the neck is to be broken and sacrificed to God. Well, see, you need a donkey, and you don't have enough of them. He says you can redeem that donkey with a lamb. Really? The sacrificial lamb again. You know, all of this points to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And it says redeem all of your firstborn males, your human males, with a lamb. It's trying to, he's preparing these people for the great Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. He's going to put it into their daily routines that a lamb will one day save me. And it just, when he finally comes, they just, with all of this practice that God has put in them, when he finally comes, they don't even recognize him.
Because they're waiting for the mighty one.
Yes, right. Yes. They're waiting for the conqueror to come.
Right.
Even though the book says he would come as a child.
Right.
And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that open the womb, the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token unto thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. He knew this people. He knew they had a hard heart. He called them stiff-necked. They're very rebellious people. God said little adversity comes their way, they're probably going to want to run right back to the bondage that I just brought them out of.
Yeah. Interesting side note on this, because we're right here, the frontlets between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if you've ever seen like the Orthodox, whenever they're wearing like a little box right here, all right, it's called tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning they get up, they call it putting on tefillin.
Yeah.
But it's literally a box. It's got verses written in it and stuff like that.
Right.
But that's what it means by to put it between the frontlets of your
eyes. So they can look at it.
It's right there in the pineal gland again.
Right. Right.
Vision beams out across those into whatever, which is really neat, esoteric.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the introduction of it right there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Strapping the scripture to them.
Yep.
I know they bind them on their arms,
yeah,
too,
so they could
feel it.
And yeah. The thing about it is, another interesting point on that, most of the people who came up against them, whenever they saw the filling on them,
yeah,
they feared them,
yeah,
because they thought that it was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow.
Interesting. Thank you for that. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Remember that? Made him
promise.
Yeah. Take my bones with you. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So, this is this big column of 2 million people, probably. And in the daytime, a big giant cloud in front of them, walking along, leading the way. And at night, it's a pillar of fire. These people have just seen miraculous miracles to release them from bondage in Egypt. Now God Almighty is leading them where he wants to take them. And watch what happens here just very shortly. Chapter 14, book of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Belizephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. And, you know, it's good that God calls these the children, because they act like children. Go tell the children. Mm-hmm. Go tell the children. Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart once again, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. So we're in total economic disaster from all the plagues. The last thing that we had of any value was our slaves, the Israelites, and we have let them go. Now, weeks have passed now. This is, and there you got to get out of the mindset of, this is tomorrow. It's not. It's not tomorrow. Weeks have passed. Most likely several months have passed, yes. Mm-hmm. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. What is the last thing that he had? Was his military might.
Yeah.
Economically, they're destroyed. He has his military might. It's the last thing God is going to take from him.
And basically starting from scratch.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Know, if he would have, you know, I know that the Lord hardened his heart and made him do it, but if he would have chosen to.
And Egypt never recovers from this. No. If you look at all the following books, Egypt does have a military, but nobody, Syria and Nebuchadnezzar, they never really worry about Egypt ever again.
Right.
They don't ever get back to the economic and the military power that they were at this time. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Belzephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. You know, I see that big cloud over there, but man, Pharaoh brought his army. We're all going to die.
You know, that candle that just floats in front of all.
Yeah, a big flaming tornado. That's Pharaoh and his army over there.
Look at that guy. That's a human being.
Oh, my gosh. I read this over and over, and I say, what is with these people? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? We want to be slaves the rest of our lives. It's okay.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, no, we're slaves. And in the evening at the pub, I wish we weren't slaves. I wish we could get out of here. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Remember that phrase, because they're going to use it over and over and over again. Oh, we're going to die in the wilderness.
Yeah. Now, is this the first case of Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm Syndrome. Explain.
All right, Stockholm Syndrome is whenever you basically, you've been kidnapped or taken against your will.
Oh, you start liking your captors.
You start liking the captors, right.
Oh, no, I think it's a case of going with the side they think's going to win.
Yeah, they're spooked.
Yeah. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." A giant tornado of fire, it has power, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Shut up, stand over there, and watch.
Just watch.
It's important that you shut up.
Yep.
Stop disrespecting God. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod." And you see, Moses has been in command of the rod for the last three or four plagues, and now will not turn it back over to Aaron. He is the prophet of God at this point, not the prophet with the mouthpiece anymore. "But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen."
Now, interesting point. It says that he'll harden the heart of the Egyptians. Now he's transferred from just doing it to Pharaoh to the group.
And do you know why? Pharaoh ain't going through that channel through the sea.
Nope.
He's going to send them other boys through there.
You guys go test it out.
So God had to put it, because I wouldn't have wanted to go through there either. Not seeing everything that I'd seen in Egypt and knowing how powerful this God is. But, all right, you guys go. No, we ain't going. So God put it in them. Yeah, we're going to get these guys. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So God put himself between Pharaoh's armies and the Israelis. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. So it was not an immediate thing like you see on the Cecil B. DeMille's depiction of the Exodus. It was a very strong wind, and God is a very practical God. They do believe they know exactly where it happened, and it is a shallower spot right there in the sea, and a strong enough wind blowing outward could blow the tide back and actually hold it back. And our practical God knew this and did it. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen, but not Pharaoh. He said, "You guys go. I'm going to follow." Okay?
Yeah. I'm going to be there, though.
Yeah, I'll be there for you. I got your back. And it came to pass that in the morning, which the Lord looked onto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavenly. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." Do you see that?
Well, yes.
"And took off their chariot wheels."
Yes, that is the first time that hit me that way.
Did you ever see that portrayed in the movie?
No. Yeah? But that's what it was interesting. The way it hit me was like he led them all out there, let them all get out there, and then he busted the wheels off.
They told you to oil that axle.
We didn't have any pitch.
I drave them heavily. so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. So they're abandoning their chariots and running back at this point.
Run away.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. I always felt bad for the horses in all these situations.
Me too.
Especially when David hawks all them horses, you know? That one sticks in my craw a little bit, but... And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the hosts of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. I can't imagine trying to swim with armor on.
Oh, yeah. This just made me, like, put a weird thought in my head. All right, whenever you see, like, the underwater footage where they show, like, the statuettes and stuff like that, or statuettes of, like, the horses, the horsemen, and everything like that. Like, are they all concrete down there, or... anyway.
But, can you, I mean, just to be in the water with armor on, but all of a sudden to be 80 or 90 feet deep in water.
The pressure. Like,
yes. Yeah. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So in my mind, the Egyptian army came in while the Israelis were still traversing this channel, and God brought the wheels off the chariots to slow them down. And so the Egyptians said, do we continue on foot? No, this is the finger of God. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
At this point, they're snapped out of their delusion of killing the Israelis. We got to get out of here. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servants for at least 10 minutes that day.
Yes.
Because you'll see that they will doubt God here a day or two from now.
Yes.
Amazing how they do that.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're at chapter 15. We're going to leave it there today. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, this amazing manuscript filled with God's Word and His guidance. And He even tells you what's going to happen in the future. And tell you what, watching the news this week, there's a lot of stuff happening right now that's in the back of this book. You need to get out and read it. Appreciate you being here on WBFF 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio. We'll catch you next time.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.